on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted 4 times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Marcus being tackled, little handball away to Del Santo here, top of the goal square, and it's all Turner. He runs in an open goal for the Kangas and puts it through.
Zeeble chopped it off, kicked it back inside. 50 Brown! Towering mark, the big red locks were up. And what a fantastic mark.
Oh, Mullet's turned it over. Scraping the hooker. Hooker turns around, snaps, and puts it through.
Good fist away. Tarrant goes to Edwards. Snap a goal. He does. Bombers on fire.
Jacobs takes the free kick. Big Ben Brown is his man in the forward pocket. Got it. Opens up the angle. Around the body. Kicks the goal. Big Ben Brown delivers.
Gibson, who started as a Subway sub. Oh, Waite's got this one. Stuck the boots up. In your back. And takes the mark. That was his second mark, and it's produced a wonderful goal. And he won the ball, Nick Goldstein. Kicks him inside 50. What a transformation. Ben Brown marks. Ben Brown, goal! Zeeble just got to get to his feet, and he does. Brilliant thinking inside the square by Jack Zeeble. Boundary throw in.
Okay, man.
About the last piece of anger we see in this game, and North Melbourne did what they had to do. 5-1, third quarter, and a final term, 4-2. The Roos get home by 25.
When we've lost games of footy, our record is 16-2 over the last period of time, and off the back of wins, it's been really poor. So we had a really big emphasis this week on following up last week's performance, and in the end we did that.
North get the job done, finally able to back up a big win with a solid performance. Did they make the finals? Can they do any more than make up the numbers? Star Nick Del Santo will join the conversation.
We played 12 players under 40 games again, and we got the effort and intensity for probably 3 quarters. Yeah, with a young team, I suppose you expect some mistakes, and particularly that third quarter probably cost us 3 goals from really basic mistakes. And that was probably where the game was, you know, won or lost, but very pleasing with the effort from the team.
It's been another big week for James Hird. The Bombers showed some fight last night, but how far back are they from the rest of the competition? Dyson Heppel will join us.
I can understand why it's not a good look and it's not a good thing for the game. I guess the game has given me the feedback that I need to change the way that I go about doing that.
I was very disappointed in the way that it ended up looking. I agree, it's not a great look for the game. You know, I didn't mean to be malicious in the tackle.
It just takes away that instinctive part of the game, which is to tackle. Like, what are they trying to do to the game? And send the messages about concussion, but it just feels like we're trying to control just too much.
We still have yet to sort out the correct way to be able to spread the game out a little more than it is.
I've heard the view recently that the game should be much shorter. Not at the margin, not 10 minutes here, you know, 8 minutes there, much shorter. Instead of 115, 120 minutes, 80 minutes.
Of course, we'll look at all the news of the week in the crunch, and everyone's got a suggestion on what to do with the game, including that radical one from Chris Scott during last night's coach's box. And in our Saturday spotlight, we look ahead to postseason trades. Which players will be a boom and who could be a bust? It's another big edition of Crunch Time with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Good morning, everyone. It's 10 minutes past 11. Welcome to Crunch Time. It's a beautiful sunny morning, if not amazingly warm. We are right in the middle of a cold snap in winter in Melbourne and round 16 of AFL footy, but it is a beautiful winter's day today, so get out there and enjoy it. We'll talk plenty of footy, as we said, Nick Del Santo, Dyson Heppel to join us as we lead in to a big afternoon of footy. David King is with us, as he always is, on a Saturday.
Hello.
Morning, Kingy.
How are you, mate? How are you doing?
So we'll check him off the roll. Check. Yeah, check. Dermot Bruton's here, morning. So that's always a good sign.
Present. Good morning. Looking how fresh. Are we, gents?
Present. Is that what?
Present, yes. Yeah. Present.
Yeah.
And
present, sir.
Mark Robinson.
Mr. Robinson.
Hello.
You into the Rowan Atkinson roll call?
No, we haven't spotted Robbo yet, but I'm sure he'll
I think we've got another listener in the car out and about this morning.
I'm a little worried for Robbo.
Should we be worried for
normally
him?
Normally he makes contact and says something like he's salamander ate his homework or something like that. But
we've had not being able to get a cab. We've had his flat. His apartment being flooded. who had some dog issues in the past, but just waiting for
it's
a new one.
It's always a concern when someone gets a cab to work at 11 in the morning. You know, they've had a reasonable
Well, he was trying
I
to get a cab.
Can't get in there on time. I've got heartburn.
He was trying to get a cab because his car was blocked in by one of his neighbours. So yeah.
That was
the situation. Yeah. All right, let's talk last night's... Let's talk about last night's match. It wasn't a great game. Certainly North was sluggish. Essendon had a decent crack early.
Second quarter was all right.
Was.
It was a spectacle.
Yep.
But that was the highlight of the game, the way the game opened up a little bit and the ball got to move around. And we saw Ben Brown take a really good grab. That's the aesthetics of the game. That's a seriously good grab by Ben Brown, wasn't it? That is right up there.
And North have got two tall blokes at the moment that are fantastic advertisements for their club. We'll talk a fair bit about Todd Goldstein
at half-time,
in a moment.
They were one contested mark to eight. So without Petrie, they actually didn't mark the ball up off the ground in the contested scenario.
It they looked a bit lost up forward without him,
To start with. By the end, it had rounded up to a 9-10 or one way or the other. So it evened out in the end.
Life after Petrie didn't look as bad. When you look at it last night, you think, okay, Brown's going to play. I'm not sure why Brown was ever out of that side, by the way. I mean, he's only played 22
that
games of AFL football.
Like, I guess Majak had been playing really well in the VFL and they thought they would...
panels in front of Majak.
No, I agree.
Let's not even compare the two at the moment. Majak had his opportunity. He's let it slip. And this kid, whether he's playing good footy, whether he's taking marks or not, he's a competitor. He's always around the action. He chases. He harasses. He should not be out of that team. And the other two that I want to talk about is Turner and Taylor Garner. And they're two players. I know they're not stars at the moment. They're only low possession players.
We spoke about Garner last night.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And the fact is, I don't know what you were like as a player, Kingy, but one of the bugbears of the hatreds of a forward is when you see somebody further afield, they're coming towards you, they get pressure from side on, they turn sideways to avoid any contact, and they screw kick the ball around to you. It might get to you, it might not. Yep. They're pretty good at it these days. But you always like the blokes who said, no, I'll hold my line, I'll hold the line of this drop punt run, kick straight at you, and I'll take the side on hit. And it's going to be milliseconds after I kick, but I'll take that hit to make sure I get the kick accurately. That boy does it every time. Yeah. He takes punishment so he can get the ball away cleanly. He is very...
You're big on that, Dermot. Absolutely. Over the years, you've
been. Absolutely. Guys who are willing to take a hit for one better possession. I think that speaks volumes about the integrity of the young man.
Had five shots at goals last week. First game for the club for... I mean, he's been there two or three years. He just hasn't had an even run with injury.
Yeah, he's had a lot of injury.
He's very athletic. I mean, he was going for marks last night, landing on like a cat on 2 feet and then gone after the Bombers to put pressure on. I just think that it's just good signs. And that may be post-Harvey. I mean, we're going to talk about Brent later on, but I just thought for the first time I saw some kids actually start to take control of a position. You know, I think there's players been in and out of that team because they haven't demanded selection, really. But those two now have just got to be played. And that's the responsibility of Brad Scott and the Kangaroos now to ensure that they get games into these kids.
Well, let's talk about the Roos. 9-4-2, 9-11-16. If you're a North supporter, Nick D'Alessandro is going to join us shortly. But we've got some time to take a few calls and talk about where to from here. I mentioned in the opener, are they going to do any more than make up the numbers come finals, if they make finals? They've got the draw that should see them make finals. Certainly, if they'd lost last night, it might have been a different story, and there would have been some nervous supporters at halftime. Just want to quickly play this grab of Brad Scott. Nothing amazing, but certainly pumping up the man who was clearly best on the ground.
I thought that he marked the ball in a contest really well. You know, he always runs really hard, and you know, I think 55 hit-outs and helped us dominate the stoppages. So I said at the start of the year, he really wants to stamp his authority on the competition and put his hand up as one of the premier big men in the game. And I think he's well on the way to doing that.
He was amazing last night, wasn't he, Todd Goldstein? And you got a nice little story about his recruitment.
Oh, look, Neville Stibbard has probably been a really good late pick recruiter. I mean, the first picks are pretty much given, you know, the top 10 picks around the competition. But Neville picked him way back in 06 with pick 37, Derm. And he played his first game for Oakley in August of that year. So it would have been a huge gamble to take him with that. It's not a high pick necessarily, 37.
Your first game of AFL
footy in the August at Oakley.
Australian
that
rules
year.
Footy.
Yeah. So probably, let's just say he played half a dozen games. Let's say he played eight games. What a risk that is.
Yeah.
For basically a basketballer to come in and and have the vision that, that Neville had. And I think that's another one. That's up there with the Byron Pickett selection, the Jeremy Cameron work that he did to get him onto the AIS list and then into GWS. I think that's an outstanding selection.
The picks around him, it's always interesting. Chris Dawes went at 28, Eric McKenzie at 29, Ricky Pettad, Clayton Collard went to Fremantle.
Clayton Collard.
Never to be seen again. I think he played one game. Kurt Tippett went at 32. Jared Morton went to Hawthorn at 33. Chris Schmidt went to Brisbane. Mark Austin, Aussie, at 35. Alwyn Davey at 36. Then Todd Goldstein, James Hawksley to Brisbane, yeah. Nathan Cracker, Josh Kennedy, and Tom Hawkins, but they Josh were father Kennedy. Son. Yeah. And then Basher Hooley. So that's where he was picked.
Yeah, it's more the risk that this guy hasn't played enough footy. And it's a basketballer coming in to play. Yeah, it's a pretty intimidating position playing ruck. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I actually don't know how they jump up at the centre bounce and compete like they have. But everyone talks about why Nick Nat is a unique beast with his harassment and all that sort of thing around the clearances. But this guy gets on the spread. He gets possessions, and when he gets them, he hurts you. That's the difference with Goldie. And I think that
his kicking was very good last night.
He's getting better and
Ruckman,
better.
Yeah, he was very good. He can find the ball. Mm. And it sounds weird, but you get 6 foot six Ruckman, and you get 6 foot six other Ruckman, and one looks big. And it's like boxers, you know, they can go be the same weight at the weigh-in, but they go into the ring and one looks the biggest specimen. He's a big 200-centimetre ruckman. He just looks big. He seems big. He outsizes other blokes who on the tail of the tape are listed at 200 centimetres also. And he mauled McKernan last night, and his sheer mass those free kicks.
That's a weapon they have, clearly. Equal best, one of the best ruckmen in the competition. Have they got enough other weapons, Kingy, to really do more than make up the numbers come the finals?
Oh, I think they can more than make up the numbers. Maybe I'm my own little island here, but I think Goldie gives these clearance players an opportunity at ground level. Now, they've got to clean up their ground level work. They're fourth in the comp for clearances, but 12th for scores. Now, there's a problem there. I mean, they still lack
leg speed.
They do.
4 or 5 metres outside.
They don't have breakaway. They don't have breakaway speed.
Outside the stoppage, they still lack that leg speed.
Zeeble and Swallow and Cunnington are very similar types. It's get ball
Zeeble's
and then
the quickest.
Surge it forward. Get it on your boot as quick as you can. We showed a vision last night of why their stoppage efficiency, if you like, is poor. The gun teams get possession and they go bang, bang, bang with quick hands, get it to the outside to a runner who can drive it inside 50 or hit a target and maintain possession. They haven't done that yet. If they can do that...
So can they do that, though? Have
course,
they got the players to do that?
I reckon they can. I mean, they've got to trust players like Turner, Attlee, Harvey again. He's got to find trust in Brent Harvey again to go back into the middle and become damaging players first receive.
So are they two same, right? Same? They're number one players that they have, are they two same in the middle to all be there together?
I think they are. I think once, I mean, there's only a certain amount of clearances up for grabs. Someone gets their hand on the ball, you need separation around them. They don't have separation around them with the sameness that's in the middle. Del Santo's missed a lot of footy this year, so that's hurt that stat. But I'm not sure Nick's that player at the moment either.
Does Wells's name appear on another North Melbourne team sheet this year?
That's a good question. I heard him talking on he's on the North Melbourne website. Mm. He's quite frustrated with the perception that unless he's 100%.
He's frustrated. Yeah, I'm tipping the coaching staff.
No, I think I don't even think he's happy with how that's been sold either. I think that he's been disappointed with the fact that maybe Brad at some stage said, look, unless he's 100% right, he's a Ferrari, he won't play. That's how Daniel is. He's far from 100% right. He's had injections in his Achilles. He's had all sorts of issues. So this is not a decision to wait till he's 100% right. I think he's waiting until the injury is actually healed. So I think we'll see him. I think we'll see him in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Because I think Attlee, who's the other one with real good speed, he likes to see the play ahead of him. He likes to see somebody holding the ball, not in deep, serious traffic, and he likes to get on the bike and motor past, take that handball sideways and absolutely burn anything around him. He needs to see the opposition. I reckon in the heat of the traffic, you couldn't really make him the Wells-style player who plays in the stoppage.
But
you
could
just
go in there
the
a
outside.
Bit,
he can't replace Wells. Wells is a unique talent. Wells is a better player than people give him credit for.
Let's take a couple of quick calls. We asked for some at 20 past 11 before Nick Del Santo joins us. Garfield's on the road. G'day, Garfield.
G'day, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
It's all right.
Now, the umpiring, I hope your girls are going to have something to say about the umpiring. That was very ordinary last night. Ben Brown, he had two blokes hanging off him.
Yeah.
And, you know, how that wasn't a free kick, I don't know.
Yeah, and I called that at the time, Garfield. That was down in the forward pocket when he had his hip pulled and turned.
Exactly.
Yeah, we mentioned that at the time. And although you want a lot
of free kicks, though, North. I mean, they were way ahead in the free kick.
You want them to pick up the free kicks. Those types of ones, you get them, you don't get them. They tend to work out fairly even in the end.
I think Brent Stanton was unlucky. He had players falling to his back twice last night in the goal square. He could have got two of the easiest goals we've ever seen, but they had a great run last night.
What's his name? Rolled over on his back.
It was two. Two in the exact same spot. He stood up. What am I doing wrong here?
He feels like the marking contest right in the goal square. Yeah. He was goal line side of him. But he grasped the ball and he rolled over him.
It feels like to me across the competition, the umpires are, I think the old boy that cried wolf, those sort of players that have got a bit of a reputation are not getting many free kicks at the moment.
Not in the goal square. You really have to be, you know, have to have your head ripped off to get a free kick in the goal square these days.
Rob's in Richmond. Wants to talk about North Melbourne. 22 past 11. G'day, Rob.
Morning, gents. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, look, I'm a frustrated North supporter. You know, last couple of weeks, you know, Brad's decided to make a couple of changes and, you know, it's shaking the team up. But I'm frustrated because, like, those changes should have been made after round one or round three or four. And this, to me, the season, you know, whether or not we make the finals, you've got to finish top four. And we're just not going to get there again. It's just going to be another one of those ones where we might sneak into the finals. But, I want to win premierships and we're not going to do that. Even again this year, another year that's gone, and we're in the window apparently.
Yeah, it's an interesting call about the selection. It's been a criticism consistently of Brad Scott over the last couple of years. He hasn't been prepared to dump players, but he has at least done it now in the last few weeks. It's interesting his month away from the club, Kingy, whether that's actually been the thing that's made him change some of that.
I'm not on the inner sanctum at all. I have nothing to do with the Kangaroos, so I sit back very objective of what they do. I watch them every week. That's the one thing I do. I think he's targeted Brent Harvey. I actually think that he's gone after Brent Harvey because everyone externally is saying you don't drop a star, you don't drop Daniel Wells, you don't drop Brent Harvey, he's dropped Lindsay Thomas.
Yep.
And he's made boom of the sub, and I think that's a massive error.
So I'm laughing, Kingy. The text message, Garfield on the road, who we had. Another text has come through. Garfield on the road. Is he suction cupped to the inside of the car window?
Hello. Are we getting any calls from Robbo on the road?
No. There's been some suggestions about what he might be holding him up, though.
That's a good topic.
Yeah, gout.
We get some calls on that.
It's 23 past 11. Nick Del Santo to join us
next on Crunch Time. Robbo? Give us a call.
With thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.